No, I'll be happy. Yeah,
Yes, sir.
everybody
Amen.
will be happy when they reach there. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I have to also include your cell phones too. I'm moving into the technology range. If you can just open your Bibles to Matthew, the fourth chapter, and that's where we're going to spend the majority of our time this morning. You notice he said to speak of the hour. Yeah, I am the speaker of the hour. And I went to school right there, 60 minutes an hour. So, in Matthew, the fourth chapter, I want to read how we got to Matthew, the fourth chapter, verse one. I'm using Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, but you can also use Matthew 3, verses 13 and 7 through 17. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came to from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming out of the water, he said he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit driven him into the wilderness. Now we pick up the story of Jesus being in the wilderness. I want to give you the end before we get there so you can see where we're going. I'm going to use as a guide what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:16. He says, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ may show forth all long suffering." Here's the key word, "for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." I want you to focus on the word pattern. The word pattern, for most of you who deal with sewing and things, am I getting an echo here? Okay. I was at the retreat and you got the good singers and they start hitting way. I said, "That's cool. I want to do that one." They just bring it out there and you're going to still hear me. But the idea of a pattern is that you have something original and you spend time tediously trying to follow the contours of the pattern. Why? Because I want to make the pattern, what I'm making, the same as the original. Okay, so I'm going to use that concept or that perspective when we look at what Jesus does in the wilderness. What Jesus does in the wilderness, I'm going to use that as a pattern for us. Okay, is that okay? So now we see then that Jesus, we start by saying that then when was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterwards were hungered. Okay? So we have to understand the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And while in the wilderness, he was fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? Then we find then that there was a temptation that would occur in this wilderness. And it says to be tempted of the devil. Now, let me just go and look at a term, the word tempted. Okay? We sort of believe that the word tempted always leads towards a sin, don't we? But that's not always true. Because also the word tempted could mean the purpose of obtaining or ascertaining a quality, looking at a characteristic, mean putting forth an obstacle so that the characteristic of the person comes out. Okay, so I'm going to use that version of tempted when he says that God tempted Abram when he told him to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. What was he doing? He was bringing out a quality in Abram. Would Abram sacrifice his only son because I said so? And we find that's true. Because just as he was about to slay him, there was a ram in the bush. And God intervened and said, now I know that he obeys me. Why? He wanted to bring out a quality in him. But in order to do that, there had to be a test. Okay. Now, this is different sometimes when we find how the devil tempts us. When the devil tempts us, he doesn't tempt us to look for a quality. He tempts us to lead us away from God. Same term, two different effects of it. Okay. One is that we want to look at a quality of someone. Two, we want to look at leading someone away from God. And we know that the Satan is an adversary. An adversary just means one who opposes another. Okay? And it says now the term devil means opposer of justice as a Greek term. And we find that in Revelation 12 and 10, it says, and I heard a loud voice coming in heaven. Now is coming salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God's day and night. His purpose is to accuse us who are in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober. Doesn't mean don't be drunk. We had a discussion about that. No, be serious, be aware, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. Okay. James puts it this way, James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Because why? For God cannot tempt with evil, neither he tempteth any man, but he tests to see whether we have the quality that he's looking for. Okay? Then we find in verse 3, and when the tempter came to him and says, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Guess what? Yeah. Some of us can't get past 4 hours. He was hungered, right? Watch what the tempter, who's always designed to lead you away from God, touches. He touches your physical need at that time, doesn't he? He says, because if you're the Son of God, I want you to turn these stones into bread so it can satisfy your hunger. Doesn't that seem nice? Seem like a nice guy, doesn't he? He's concerned about my hunger. And he's saying, all you got to do is turn these stones to bread, and guess what? Take it and it'll satisfy your hunger. Doesn't that seem like someone who is concerned about you? Concerned about your physical need? And they just want you to just obey him to satisfy your physical need? I mean, I think I see that. But there is something else going on here. Because the adversary, which is always against God, is suddenly interested in your needs. Not only that, he wants to provide your needs. All you have to do is listen to Frank Sinatra and do it your way. That's all you got to do. And it'll satisfy your need. I'm going to slip in here what Peter says to me. He says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says this: "Lest Satan take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Okay? We're not ignorant, we're not unaware of his devices. Why? Because his devices are always meant to take you away from God. If you don't go any further and understand that, you shouldn't listen to him if you want to please God, right? Because whatever he tells you, it takes you away from God. Verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." This hunger thing wasn't new. No, we found that in Esau's case, didn't we? Esau came in and said, "I'm hungry." The brother made some lentils, red beans, and he says, "Give me that." He says, "Well, yeah, you got to give me your birthright." He says, "Well, I'm about to die. What would the birthright do me? Here, take my birthright and give me those beans. Why? So I can satisfy my hunger." I always ask the question. He said I would die. Is that true? If he would have waited a little while, he wouldn't have died. But isn't it interesting when the devil begins to be on your street of need? It seems like unless I do this, it ain't going, I'm gonna die. If she don't call me back, I'm gonna die. If he don't call me back, I'm gonna die. No, you won't. But it feels like it, doesn't it? You won't die. That's why he says, now he goes back into the Old Testament because, he said, it's written already. I like that because he says, almost like the Hebrew boys, it's already figured out what it is. It's written. What's written? Deuteronomy 8:3 says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. And he fed them with manna, which they knew of not, neither did the fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God does man live." Now, most of y'all, we're doing an Old Testament survey, know exactly what we're talking about. He brought them into the wilderness. They didn't have anything to eat, and they start complaining, and God sent manna from heaven down, and they began to eat it. Now, to refresh our memory, he's saying that if God brought us into the wilderness, we're going to die from hunger. God said, "I can't hold this any longer." Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 9, he said, "God will supply what? All of your needs according to his riches in heaven." And guess what? Manna came from heaven. They didn't know what it was. That's why they call it manna. Manna meant, what is this? But guess what? It met their needs. Why? Because God provided it, brought them into the wilderness, and gave them what they needed. That's the pattern. When there was a opposition, he said, "It is settled." Why? Because God already told me about this. And guess all I have to do is stand on it. I don't have to have a full discussion with the adversary. Brother said earlier this morning that no is a complete answer. It's a complete sentence. I ain't got to go into detail why. I just said no. And that ought to settle it. But isn't it interesting that he always wants to supply your needs, but is always against God and what he wants you to do? Okay. Then the devil takes him up to the holy city and settles him on a pinnacle of the temple and says to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Why? Because for it is written. Oh, look at this trick. Listen, I like him. He's smooth. You want to tell me it's written in the first one? I'm going to tell you the second one. You know, it is written. Here it is. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash their foot against this stone. He is so smooth. That's my buddy there. That's my buddy. He keeps me on track. He said, God said this, that if you cast yourself down, the angels catch you. And you know what? In Psalms 91, it does say that, doesn't it? But see, the problem with that is that if you read above, in verse number 2, it says, my God, in him will I trust. Now, throw yourself down. Why? Because I trust God, not you. I trust God. And the subtlety in that, if you didn't know above, you say, that's what the Bible says. Exactly. No, it says God will supply all of your needs. Devil, you have knowledge. You even have scripture. You even appear righteous. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. He does that. And he speaks to you. And if you're not careful, you can see him as an angel of light. He can speak as an angel of light. But if you listen carefully, he's not an angel of light. He is still, remember we started off, he is still the adversary. You know, someone said, you can paint lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. Oh, I like that boy. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just saying, you put lipstick on a pig, dress him up, and he's still a pig. The adversary will always be against God. I don't care how he appears. I don't care what he speaks. Can I be honest with you? He can even be in the pulpit talking to you right now. No, let's be real now. The only way you would know the difference is you've got to know God and what God says, not what the man says, but what God says. That's why he said, it is settled, because God has said it, if I can put it in that way. So he goes to Deuteronomy 6:16 and says, no, I skip one. In verse 7, it says, Jesus said to him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he takes that from Deuteronomy 6:16, says, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God as he has tempted him in Massa." But then you got to ask yourself, well, where's Massa? Can I just give you a little history? It's short. I've shortened it. It was about that long. I mean, about that long. What it was is that God again had them in the wilderness and they had no water. And this is their statement. God, you brought me here to die. God, you gave me this, and look, it's incomplete. You brought me over here, and I can't meet my needs. And then what did God do? Gave them water. I'm going to baptize that fellow in a second. Gave them water because that was their need. And he brought them to a place where he can meet their needs. But you know, he's okay. He ain't bought nobody. He gonna fool around, get close to that water. That's what he gonna do. But the idea is that God will supply all of your needs. Now you gotta understand this, according to his riches in heaven. He knows the time that you need it. And he's going to give it to you when you need it. May not be when you want it, but he'll definitely give you what you need when you need it. And Jesus does not address his misquotation by Satan. Instead, he focuses on the main point of tempting God. And if you permit me, I got a few minutes here. Romans 5:20, going on to Romans 6:2, because you know this, most of y'all know this by heart. Listen to this, and we go over this more often. He says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound. But where sin abounds, guess what? Grace did much more. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto the eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Got it, Jesus. Got it now. He said, "What should I say then?" And watch this. "Should I continue in sin that grace may abound?" Listen, there's enough grace. All I got to do is sin. I got to use that grace now. I got to use the grace. In order to use the grace, I got to sin. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? I mean, he gives me all this grace, but why let it sit there? You got to sin in order to get the grace, right? He said, "God forbid." Don't even think like that. Some of us begin to think, you know, well, God will save me. I can do this. All I got to do is give you one real quick one. I can do this, and then I can turn around and repent. Doesn't that sound cool? Why? Because I serve a forgiving God. He even told Peter, how many times you want? Peter said seven times. You know, 70 times seven. I can keep on doing it. And all I got to do is go, "I'm sorry, God. Forgive me, God." And I got it in my mind to do it again. God forbid. Don't do that. Don't tempt God like that. That's what he said. Don't tempt God. Listen, if you're going to do it, do it. Don't repent. Just do it. Yeah, Lord. You got me through the weekend. I messed up the weekend. You got me through Monday. I'm okay. When Friday comes, listen, Lord, listen. We can meet on Monday. But let me get Friday and Saturday out of the way first. And then we'll come together on Monday and get it right. Don't play with God. That's what he's saying. Don't play with God. Then verse 8, we're almost done. "Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory in them. And he said unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou fall down and worship me." Do you see what just happened here? Before it was about bread. Before it was about, mountains. Now he gets to the real point. I want you to worship me. See? Now, and maybe there's a pattern here that Satan uses. He never gives you where he's going. He just takes you step by step. See, he never shows you the end point. He just takes you step by step. Because now it comes out, this is why I wanted you to turn stones to bread. See, this is why I wanted you to jump off and the angels catch you. Why? Because I want you to worship me. No. Let me slow down. Most of us, I mean, do you know anyone? There's a small group maybe that says, I worship Satan. Now there's a small splinter group that says that, right? But the majority of people would never say that, would they? No. But look at what they do. See? And they're actually serving him. But they would never say, I'm a servant of Satan. But their actions and their thoughts, what they say and what they do is in line with what he teaches. Now, if that's not deception, I don't know what is. He gives you bit by bit. If I'm not mistaken, and again, I didn't have this written down. Remember Hansel and Gretel? I think they were the two. And they laid down the crumbs. That was going to lead them to disaster. And all they can do is pick up the crumbs and say, boy, this is good. Well, this is better. This is nice. Not knowing where they were heading. That's Satan's tactics. That's why he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of what he does. He gives you bit by bit by bit until he consumes you. There is a statement here that he is a God. You know that, right? Maybe you don't. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, listen, this is what this says. It says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. He is the God of this world. You need some pleasure, he's got it. Well, you know, sometimes if you put it in perspective, you got to read the book of Corinthians and you'll find out every pleasure was met in Corinth. Every pleasure of man that takes you away from God was met in Corinth. Why? That was the center where he had control. And guess what he was doing? The same thing he always does. Give you a little crumb here, a little crumb there, a little... Who was this? I can't get no satisfaction. No, a little satisfaction here. A little satisfaction there. And did we get satisfactory? And all of a sudden, we find ourselves distant from God and can't figure it out. Remember, we're talking about patterns, right? What we are saying here, the cloak has been unveiled. The purpose of Satan is to have you worship him and to draw you away from your God. Verse number 10, which is our last verse. He says, "Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan." That means behind. "For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall I serve." Deuteronomy 6:13 tells us he's the only God worthy of being served. What did Jesus teach us as far as a pattern? Well, God takes us places. God allows things to happen to us. God is not interested in what happens to you. He's interested in what you're going to do with what happened. Now, if we use the word tempt, what he's trying to do is bring out the quality in you. Yeah. So that means when somebody loses their job, and I lose my job, and both of us have our last day there, we can walk around and say, bitter. See, I told you that wasn't good. I put in 40 years here, and look at them. They kicked me out the door. Yeah. But another can say, thank you, Lord, for 40 years. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know where the next door is going to open, but I know who has it in his plans. And he says, I open doors and I close doors, but you got to turn loose the knob. Let me be God. Let me do what I say I'm going to do. Because he already said it. I'll supply all of your needs according to the riches in heaven. If you don't know you got a need and it comes up, I'll supply it according to my will. What a mighty God we serve. He's saying that I don't care. No, I can't put it that way. I do care what happens to you, but I'm more interested in what you do with it. Because he says, I send the rain on the just and the unjust. All of us are going to go through stuff. But now, which temptation is it? A temptation to bring out the quality in you, or the temptation to draw you away from me? God never does anything to have him distance himself from you. His tests are always to bring out a quality in you that you may see him for who he is. And if nothing else, you got to say, what a mighty God we serve. But in that last verse, it says, and the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. I like the Luke version better. Because the Luke version says it just a little different. The Luke version, and not say they're competing with one another, they're not. But I like the Luke version, because this is what the Luke version says. Luke version says what? If I find it, I'm going to tell you it. And I know it's written here. Okay, here it is. This is the Luke version. Now, verse 13. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. He departed from him to return at another time. He departed from him until you find another desire that you think Satan's going to give you. I'll arrive then. He's coming back. You don't kick him out. He's like a bad tenant.
You can't, yeah, they're easy to come in, but you can't get them out. The key is don't let them in. If you don't let them in, you don't have to worry about kicking them out. Now, I got a second here. Let me just share with you a couple of scriptures and I'm done. James 4:7, it says this: submit yourself therefore to God. Now, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, there's a two-part component there. One, you got to submit to one. Okay, I had my air conditioner up here. Wait, did I bring my air conditioner with me? Got it in the bag. Well, I just got to wipe when I sit down. Oh, there it is. No, I ain't bringing no tissue. Last time I used my handkerchief, it was useless. Man, don't ever get a handkerchief up here. It's useless. Two things. Must submit to God. Two, resist the devil. Three, he'll leave. For how long? Until the next opportune time. Okay? That's what the pattern he uses. Now, this is the pattern, then we'll close it. This is the pattern of Satan. And most of y'all got this by heart. Most of y'all know this by heart. 1 John 2:16, it says, now, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Lust of the flesh, stones turn to bread. Lust of the eye, the kingdoms that I'll give you. Pride of life, I jump down and angels will catch me. Luke 22:31-32 says this. And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Simon, Simon, behold. No, he's just taking a second wind. There you go. Hey, brother, Simon. See, all I had to say was Simon twice. See, he got it. Simon, behold, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, I want you to go back and give your testimony to strengthen your brother. What a mighty God we serve. Satan desires to sift you. He wants you. But God said, I prayed for you. But you got to submit to me. You got to resist him. And watch him flee. Jesus summarizes this way. He says, Proverbs 3:5-8. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Everyone is not exposed to this. Everyone can't do this. You notice he was filled with the Spirit, and he got the Spirit when he was baptized. Just go back and look at the last part of chapter 3 or go to Luke, the 4th chapter. It tells you he had just been baptized. The Spirit came down like a dove on him. And his father said, "This is my son who I'm well pleased. I want you to hear him. I want you to pattern yourself after him." Why? Because we Hebrews 4 says we have no high priest that has not been touched by our infirmity, but always was tempted just as we are, yet without sin. And if you got that, he says, now, when you're in something, come boldly to the throne where you can find rest for your souls. You have to be in Christ Jesus to have his Spirit to be able to do this. Well, how in the world do I get this Spirit? I'm so glad you ask. I'm going to give you what the Bible says. First, you got to hear my word. Yeah. That's why I didn't spend time up here telling you stories. Because my stories ain't going to help you. They may strengthen what you already know, but they don't help you. The word of God helps you. Then he says, when you hear his word, do you believe it? What? Believe what? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If he's the Son of the living God, he's God the Son. If he's God the Son, he has the power over life and death, the destiny of man. Do you believe that? Yeah. Are you willing to repent? This is a struggle. Repentance means in our working self, it means I have to admit I was wrong. But that's what it boils down to. I know I can give you a fancy, you know, Greek word for it, but listen, that's what it says. I was wrong the way I was living. You know, that's what it's saying. And I'm willing to repent. I'm willing now to say, Satan, the adversary had me going away from you, but now I want to come back to you. That's repent. I make that up in my mind. Then I want to confess you as Lord. Savior, he's a savior of the world, John 3:16. But he's not Lord over people unless they submit to him. Lord means I give you all authority in my life. I wish I could have took you all to my retreat with me. I wish all everybody could have been there. But you know, in 2 weeks, it'll be on the internet. Go there. Because I mean, he just presented in such a way that it is so clear that God created and he's still creating now. He's creating those who are going to submit to him. Those who are going to become aware of the tricks and the devices of Satan. Those who no longer walk with the sinners, or sit in the seat of the sinners, or sit with the scorners, or walk with the liars. You know, they plant their tree by the water. And, you know, in due time, their tree produces the fruit that it was designed to do. That's what he tells us in Psalms 1. But you got to confess him. Then if you do that, are you willing to have your... Now, I mean, if you get to that point... This is the question. Do you want your sins to be removed? After all of that, the question is, do you want your sins to be... Well, you know, I did a lot of bad stuff. I hurt a lot of people. I said a lot of bad things. I mean, I was just a bad guy. Not like Muhammad Ali. I was just bad in the other way. And I couldn't fix that. And still can't fix it. But he says, do you want me to remove all that? I said, yes, Lord. Of course, it's getting heavy carrying those burdens. 30, 40, 50 years. For most of them died, I couldn't apologize if I wanted to. And I'm still carrying that stuff. He says, you know what? I'll take it away. All you have to do is get baptized to have those sins washed away. Baptized. Yeah, it's just that simple. Yes. I'll get baptized. Why? Because you said so. And you said for the remission of my sins. Then he says, I'll give you that Spirit. The one that had Jesus in the wilderness. I'll give you that Spirit. I'll give you the Spirit that you can be the pattern like Jesus. As he was confronting Satan. You can do the same thing. know, something like, not exactly the same thing. But you got to submit to me. That's how we get into Christ Jesus. Then we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That one day, when we can't sing any more psalms, and thank you, brother, for those songs in the songbook. We've got 400, 600 and some songs, and we only sing 10 of them. And you brought up stuff we never sang before. I said, thank you, Jesus. And we got some more we need to learn. Praise God. That's the invitation for those who never knew God or Jesus Christ as his Savior. Those who have difficulty sinning and they want to get it right, we have the invitation song. Hymn number 30. If you could be standing, hymn number 39 we'll sing. May God bless you. May God bless you. And may God continue to bless you.
Have thine affection been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Does the count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Has thy dominion, O self, or O sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Are all thy power under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does he each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Let the church say amen. Thank you, Brother Lawrence, once again for encouraging us and enriching us and causing us to think and to have a little more knowledge, maybe or fan to flames the knowledge we already have about how Satan works in trying to win us over. And he never ceases to be the adversary. He's always the adversary. So thanks, Doc. Appreciate that. We have some cards that we did not read this morning. Are there any others? Yes. And I see a couple of hands. Oh, I'm waiting for those cards too. Did we have others? While that song is saying, that's when we're supposed to be getting those cards up here. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say thank you all for keeping me and my family in prayer. I am now on I have medicine that I've been trying to get. I finally got it. And now I have a combination of medicine that seem to be working together. And I just thank you guys for praying for me. Thank
Amen.
you so much.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Johnson. We have Sister Rashawn. Yes, she says, please pray for my family. My nieces were in an accident and on yesterday, and they were really shaken up. No physical injuries. And she wrote their names down. Nora was shaken up, but no physical injuries. Ayana, did I say that right? So let's keep them in our prayers also. Also, we have Sister Belinda Wilson. Said, please pray for my family. I need prayer so that I may be strengthened. And Sister Gloria Pettigrew, I said, please pray for my family. I need prayer so that I may be strengthened. And she says she's not been a committed Christian and she need to make a confession.
I have sinned and I won't ask the church and the saints for prayers.
Amen. God bless you, sis.
I also want to say, over the years, I have been praying for the church to help me pray for my sister to come back to church. And she has came back to church. She's out of town today with her family. And I want to thank y'all for praying for travel for her and her family.
Amen.
They did make it to North Carolina safe. So I pray that they make it back home Amen. Safe.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. So she's traveling, right?
Brother
also,
Bob.
Also, Sister Pettigrew said that Sister Boatman is visiting with LaSalle Church today. So let's keep her in our prayers and keep that in our prayers. That's in the, yes.
I'm asking for prayers. I have my blood work tomorrow at Roswell. And pray that I handle the results, whether good or bad.
Amen. God bless you. Did I miss anyone? Anyone online? Let's remember Sister Rashawn's family who were in the automobile accident, that everything worked well with them and goes well. And also let's remember Sister Pettigrew and Sister Hanks is having an exam, and she wants to make sure that she's strong enough to handle whatever it is. We know God's in control. The doctors work through God. Did you have something? Okay. I think those are, Sister Giovanna Johnson's giving thanks for the medication working. So God bless you. So let's remember them in our prayers. You guys pray personally for them as we pray on behalf of them. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to get the things in our lives that is necessary to handle this anatomy that we carry your spirit around in. And so we thank you for the physicians, the doctors, all those, the anesthesiologists, and all those who provide the medication for our bodies. We thank you, Father, for giving them that knowledge to help us to be able to do the things in these physical, finite, tangible bodies that you designate we should do while we're sojourning here in this temporary place called Earth. We thank you for Sister Johnson, Father, Sister Giovanna Johnson. We thank you for helping those who need to have a knowledge of her anatomy to prescribe what's necessary. And so, Father, we just trust that all those who are going through trials and tribulations, those who are Father, who are going through bereavement at this time. And Father, we just pray you'll bless Brother Jones's family and help them to find Jesus in all the things that we do because of the support we give and the compassion we have and the congeniality that he has. We just pray that you will work through Michael so that his family can make heaven their home and know that God is in control of life and death. And it is an assurance that God is still in control when these kinds of things happen in life. And so we just thank you for Sister Wilson, Father. We pray your continued blessings and strengthening of her. And Father, we thank you for Sister Hanks, and we pray your traveling mercies upon Sister Pettigrew's relatives who are traveling. Our member, Father, we just pray you give them the traveling mercies necessary for them to arrive safely at their destinations and safely back where they are originated from. And so, Father, we pray your blessings upon Sister Pettigrew and her family and just continue to bless them and bless her. We thank you for her compassion and her desire to have her family close to you so that they can hear you say what you say to her. Well done and welcome to the place you've prepared for all of us. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done, all you do. Father, we just pray you will continue to bless us and help us to be sensitive to our brothers and sisters as their needs arise. And so, Father, we entrust it all to you by the authority of your Son, Jesus, who is our Christ. Amen. Let's turn our hymn books to hymn number 51 in preparation for the communion service. Hymn number 51.